This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
In that Youth Cup final, he was a man amongst boys, it felt. Whereas when you play into adult footballs, proper football, he looks like a kid. Carry on, but that's exactly what you're saying. I completely agree.
Yeah. But they've obviously found him a good loan, stayed local, Alan done their Millwall lad. And, you know, I think that's hopefully helped him. I don't actually know whether he's out on loan at the moment, whether he's back playing kids football. But there's not really any reason to me why these young players, like if we're going to look at them, the best way they're going to develop, in my opinion, is by getting them out playing Ben's football. As you said, Vercoli, I think that's a great point. He looked like, when he played in that game, he looked like a kid playing with men. Mm. Get him out into the physicality of the men's game, even if they are going to be going down and playing 5th, 6th, 7th tier football. It's going to make them better players. It's going to make them more physical.
Especially in those lower division teams.
Exactly, yeah.
You get more aggression, you get more balls pumped up and lots of, like, you know, contact. What's your thoughts on Alex Mitchell? Because all the Lincoln fans are absolutely raving about him. They absolutely love him.
I think he didn't mention that, actually.
I think he's going to get a look in next season. I think he's nailed in to get a look in. And
I hope so, yeah.
I wouldn't see a reason, because we speak about the Millwall-type player. He's come from the academy, so he's going to be... You would assume he's going to be a Millwall-type player.
But again, to my point earlier, Dan, you can see why Joseph didn't want to play or didn't fancy him, because he wasn't a ball-playing type of defender. That's why he sent him out on loan. But under Harris...
Well, that was Rowe who sent him out on loan.
Was it Rowe? I thought it was Joe.
Yeah, no.
I think we had a recall clause in January, but we didn't opt into it.
We didn't use it.
I think he'd been a little bit in and out of the team, but I think since Lincoln have been on this stupid run where they've been scoring like 6 goals a game and a 12 games unbeaten, I think they've been singing his praises from the rooftops.
But under Harris, you can see a home there for Alex Mitchell. You can see him, you know, playing in that squad, in that team. I think, especially with, you know, how threadbare our team will be next season for lack of defenders and losing Hutch and Ganga leaving as well.
The thing is, I could see it, but someone that young, you'd probably want to put a leader either behind him or next to him. And obviously the question is Sarkic a leader? Doesn't really look like it. I think he's a good goalkeeper, but does he have them leader characteristics
good
that some goalkeepers have? No.
A younger Hutchison alongside him would be brilliant.
We know Cooper doesn't have that. Yeah, exactly. We know Cooper doesn't have them captain characteristics really about him.
No.
And also, the thing is as well with Alex Mitchell, I think he's this season in particular for Lincoln, he's played all his football in a back three. Presumably, if Harris is still here next season, he's going to be playing in a two, which is very different. I think a lot of people underestimate how different that is.
But he's a unit, though, isn't he? He's a big guy, broad shoulders. I think he can do well in a back four.
For me, anyway, with these players, though, just to steer it away from Mitchell slightly, I think for me, like with the conversation about if they're good enough, I think my point is the club needs to kind of put pressure on the manager a little bit. And I know, obviously, the club love Harris, and maybe the people at the club in charge, Aldo, you know, Kavanagh, maybe they answer to Harris a little bit because he's got that kind of reputation. He's been here previously with them. But I think it's almost like with Rowett, you guys took the argument about that friendly last year and then they got the opportunity to play. He's also got five central midfielders, 6 central midfielders at the start of the season that are senior pros. He's got 3 or 4 centre-halves that are senior pros. He's not going to play them. So my point is, don't shoot yourself in the foot with this one, but you need to find that balance where you kind of go, right, you've got 18 core first team experienced pros, and then maybe you need 6 or 7 23s or 18s to supplement that squad.
Yeah.
Risky strategy, but that's my point. The club don't put pressure on their managers enough, I don't think. Go on, Dan.
I can see that being a bit of a risky strategy, but Harris has always had a fairly kind of small, tight-knit, close squad. I think that could that could play into his hands a little bit. Maybe, I think, maybe if he was to break it down into age categories in terms of like percentages, you'd ideally probably want, like, you'd probably say maybe under 21 category, a 21 to maybe 25, 26 category. Let's go 21 to 26, 26 to 32, and then 32 and above. You'd probably want around, you'd probably say maybe 10 to 15 in that under 21 squad, and you'd probably want 10 to 15 in your 32, 33 plus squad, and you'd want the rest of it made up of players that are either in their prime or about to enter their prime, who can hopefully help the younger players, and that's what the more experienced players can be there for, and rotate with the older players who might struggle to play a bit more, like in our squad, like with the Ryan Leonards and the Sean Hutchinsons.
I think that's it. For me, it's like, it's got to be kind of a directive where the club are putting pressure on it a little bit, because at the moment, and this probably highlights, you know, the criticism on James Berylson's side, but also he's acknowledged it himself. He's not a football person. This is all new to him and all foreign. I think that's also highlighting where we are as a club. But I think staying up this season, in hindsight, obviously, at the start of the season, we're all like, oh, can we kick on and go again? Gary Rowett is still here. Can we go again? But I think the achievement of the season will be, after losing your chairman who's run the club 15, 20 years so solidly and, you know, kind of stabled the ship and made us the club we are today, to transition, lose him, go through two managers and still end the season in the championship, Joe. I think that for me is an achievement in itself a little bit, because he was a focal point and the steady Eddie of the club, wasn't he, John Berylson?
Yeah, 100%. And obviously, yeah, we all know how detrimental it's been to us as a club. After his passing, you know, a lot went sort of downhill from there. But I think his son is somebody who, as much as he'll try and, you know, carry on his dad's good work, as you say, he's not really a football man. You know, he's still kind of learning.
He's his own person.
He is his own person, but also I think a lot of that is built on trust. And I think when Joe Edwards was in charge, I think Aldo and Kavanagh had a little bit more say in where the club was going direction-wise. I didn't see Joe as someone who's going to challenge them. Whereas with Neil Harris, we all know what sort of person he is. You know, he's going to be the sort of person that will, with respect, push Aldo out the way and Kavanagh and deal directly with James Berylson himself about what he wants to do next season, how he wants to go about doing it. He won't be listening to some young kid, Aldo, telling him how he wants, you know, us to go forward. And that is the job of a director of football. A director of football, you're the person who's going to set the plan out to your manager, say, this is how we're going to play, this is our system, this is how we're going to execute it and then go forward. But I just can't see Harris listening to Aldo. Yeah, he's his own man. He'll do things his own way. And yes, there'll be conversations talking about budgets and what they can afford, what they can't afford. But I think someone like Harris, who's used to sort of dealing with low budgets, who's used to bringing young players. When he played, you know, during his prime for Millwall, there was a lot of young players coming through, like Stephen Reid, Paul Ifill, you know, Bertram, Ronnie Borders. There's so many of them. He's aware of this. I know there was different times then, and you could argue that you can't really do the same now with the youngsters to compete in the championship. But I think Harris is more open to it. He's more open to giving youngsters a chance and bleeding them through. And I really do hope next season we'll see a lot more of Adam Mayer, a lot more of like Malachi, Alex Mitchell. And then maybe one or two, as you say, Dan, experienced players who are more captain material that can just help the youngsters along. Because even back in those days, we had the likes of Nethercott, Sean Dyche, who a lot of those youngsters at the time, like Paul Ifield and Reid, would all say that Dyche was the older head. He was the captain. He was the guy who used to control the change room a little bit, help them out on the pitch when games were tough, and they look up to him. At the moment, in our team, in our first 11, there's not many players you can look to when the going gets tough. You could argue that Saville's probably the nearest we've got to that at the moment, but you can't compare Saville to the likes of Dyche or a Nethercott or a Herlock, Les Brierley type.
Even a Paul Robinson.
Or even a Paul Robinson. Fans. You know, someone who's a leader on the pitch and off the pitch. And we haven't quite got that in our dressing room.
Joe, mate, you need to speak about players kind of from the last 10, 15 years to kind of blend in with me and Omer a little bit. Just
a lot of the older generation as well. It's a wide range of.
Not the older generation. A lot of them are the best generation.
There you go. No, I'll take that one. I'll give you guys that. It's fine. I'll take my hat to you. Don't worry. Dave Clark here. So we'll keep the comments coming in, guys. Any questions, we'll try and read as many of them out. We'll just move on from that topic. So kind of on the back of that, has the club said there's no funds in the summer? I don't think the club said as much. There's nothing been said about
more
that.
More speculation, isn't it?
It's speculation based on the fact of how much we spent this season. I think it's, you know, with financial fair play to play with that. I'm not an expert on FFP, but I know it's, you know, over the course of three seasons, I think, how much you spend, and they calculate your net loss. And you should
have at least got to be helping out somewhat, you would imagine. Silver lining, I suppose. It's got to be helping out somewhat.
I think on the back of that, Dave, I think it's muted, like, you know, that we might have lack of budget because we're close to the limit of breaching it. So basically, so you're going to either have to sell your assets, which we debated earlier, there's not many, it feels like. We've got a couple, but not many. And then it's a case of then how do you invest in the squad? So it might be you get rid of some players and you promote some of the youth within because we're not going to break FFP doing that. But I'm no expert on a financial fair play. But with that, I think it's... that's the kind of way around it. I mean, Carl, I don't even want to give this time of day, but yeah, you should have gone after the Blackburn game, Rarit. Mm. But the Blackburn game's, it's been wiped from my memory. I don't know what you're on about there.
It's back in again, yeah.
What was the Blackburn game?
Nearly the 1 year anniversary of that.
But also,
what, Dan?
Also, to your point there, Omar, I mean, obviously, we all know John Berrison used to pump in, is it like £13 million of his own money every season?
Every year.
To kind of keep us afloat and pay all our costs and all our debts and stuff. I don't know what the financial situation is with James. I know he's obviously inherited his father's money and assets and whatever, but is he going to be inclined to part with £13 million every season like his dad did? Yeah, and if he is going to do that, where's the extra money to then buy players? So going back to, I think, was it the last guy who mentioned about the
Dave,
money?
Dave.
Go back to your point there, mate. It's just pure guesswork. But all we're saying is, you know, as great as James is, and I'm sure he's very similar to his dad in many ways, is he going to be as giving as his dad has been over how many years with us? Is he going to give us the money, the financial backing as his dad has given us? I don't know. My gut feeling is, look, you know what? I'm going to have to pull it back a little bit and we're going to have to sort of sell some players to then reinvest and maybe go youth or go loan. I'd be very, very surprised if he keeps this in charge of his club for another two or three seasons.
I think it depends what his commitment is, and if it, because obviously Felton grew to love the club, his dad's, and it's whether or not he's got
whether he does the same thing, exactly that, Omar. If he grows to love the club and he wants to be more involved, then great. But I just can't help but feel that as time goes on, as much as he would love to do a good job for his dad and his dad's memory, I just don't know the love's there like his dad had it for us. Mm. In which case, if another offer comes in to buy the club, I think he'd be quite tempted to sort of say, you know what, there you go, take the club, we'll sell. And we'll go off and we'll leave him in a high. We'll leave him in the Championship. No damage done. It's not as if like, he's taken over. We go to League One and he's left us in a real bad position. So I think he'd be quite happy to leave us in a stable position and let someone take over. And I would rather see that happen in all respect and get somebody in who's got a bit of money, who's a bit of a football man, that wants to take us to another level, you know?
Absolutely. I think also he's putting his face out there. So, I mean, no one really knows what his level commitment is and what he thinks, but he has put himself about there. He has done interviews when we appointed managers as such. Obviously, Edwards, I think he sat down with the club media, didn't he? So, who knows?
Would you agree? Rightly so?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think Belson occasionally sat down, his dad's, but I think he's been more visible than John Belson, but that's maybe the way he is and what's been...
But maybe he has to, doesn't he, Omar? Yeah, maybe he has to show that bit of a side to it because...
Maybe it's his keenness to get involved as well, isn't it? I suppose, to understand the dynamics of what's going on, maybe. And so he's learning on the job, basically, and that... We should highlight my original point, survival this season on the back of that. Yeah, well, watch out. I mean, coming from Dan, I blame the club.
I've seen Dan's point there.
Yeah, in our club on Mickey.
Mickey would love that. Shame he's got you down here, though, isn't it?
You guys wait and see.
We won't tell Mickey that.
Yeah, Alex S.
Honestly, he's going to be looking like Joe when he comes back. Just
Alex S. Both agree about financial fair play. I don't think we should be shouting either way about how much we have to spend. It just pushes prices up. I suppose that's true. Youth players being sold can affect offset. So, yeah, of course, obviously, SA is a homegrown talent. That's back to my initial point about investing in
youth. Before we move on that one, Omar, does SA fit in to Harris' style of football?
Probably not.
We saw him come on against Rotherham. He played in a central midfield position, didn't he?
He played there every season as well, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't really see him as a central midfielder. Yeah,
I don't see him as a deep centre midfielder, which is where he played. I mean, I didn't watch the game on Monday. I haven't watched the full game back, and if I'm being honest, I probably won't bother watching the full game back.
No, I won't bother. Yeah.
No, I won't bother. So I don't know whether he played in a kind of a deep centre midfield role, whether he was playing as a bit more of an advanced, kind of as a number 10. I do think he's going to be a number 10 when he's older, because not saying he's slow, but he hasn't got the natural pace like Idemo has.
But sadly, the position we want to see him play is probably where Ziyech's playing at the moment. So you could argue, I mean, I'm making a comparison with Brighton here, but where Brighton sell players on for a hefty profit, they usually have another player coming through, a young player that's going to step in that role. Could Essay be the player that steps into Ziyech's role to let Ziyech move on, and we then bring Ziyech through? And Spencer's point there is quite...
Yeah, he says, Savage, you say Joe is the closest to any player being a leader. Even when Hutch is playing, he's not really of a shouter or someone who grabs the game by scruff. He's not Hutch, but he wears that armband with and I think he takes the responsibility well. His game doesn't shirk away.
And he does talk, Omar. You see Hutchinson when he's played, he does talk to players and talks. You can't pretty hear him from the stands. He's not that animated, is he, like some players can be.
No, but I tell you who's always there. Onyeman's always there. If there's anyone starting, he's not.
He loves the tear up, doesn't he?
He's straight on the scene, They could literally be shaking hands and Onyeman goes steaming in and gets
like, you what? He's got small man syndrome, hasn't he?
He's small man on the pitch. He's one of Gibbs. He never backs down. It doesn't matter who it is against, you know?
On the back of that, Chris, I'm going to open my third bottle. But Chris says, over everything is easy. If you have three bottles of lager and drink two, you can't drink any more until you sell the third one. Peter says Husky paying their bill would help a little bit, a little help. I think it was quite well known, isn't it, that the club took...
Last I knew, we had a lawsuit with him.
Proceedings against Husky. I mean, that's an interesting one, isn't it? So
I think they might have had problems with our Swedish Husky brothers as well. I can't remember their name.
Back to Jamie Jr.
Interesting point, though, by the way. Actually, I only realised this the other day, and forgive me for just maybe being stupid, but the QPR current manager, he was actually managing at the Swedish Husky team earlier this season.
He was,
Hammersby, quite decent. When we played them in a preseason friendly, I think they played some really nice football against us, didn't they?
Yeah.
They were, More comments anyway from the...
And just while we're on... Keep going through the comments, but
who's hosting the show today, mate? Stay in late.
What I was going to say is the Championship Manager of the Season nominations got announced today, and how Liam Rossini is on there over either Danny Rowe if he keeps Wednesday up, or Marty Cifuentes if... provided he keeps QPR up and it looks like he's going to do it, it is beyond me, considering Rossini looks like he's going to miss out on the playoffs with that.
And also, the whole fans give a load of abuse spreads online as well.
Yeah, I think it's because they've managed to fall short of the playoffs of a squad that has Philogene, Fabio Cavallio, Anas Zarouri, Liam Delap.
Or what's his name? Seri,
Morton. Yeah.
Anyway, back to the JB Jr. topic. Tony W says maybe JB Jr. will want to do things his way. He talks about pushing us forward and he can't do that without investing. It's not James, it's Chesson Hill Ventures that fund that. I think, Alex, if you look, I'm not 100% sure on this, but I'm pretty sure James Berylson is the major stakeholder. He owns that company.
He owns that,
because John Berylson was the major stakeholder and he's just took on that position as director. So... GC says he's backed us in January with more than I thought he would, to be honest. I know it was only two loans and one perm, but I didn't expect that. I totally agree. He is having a go, and which is what back to the point we were saying about, you know,
there'll be big wages, those two loan signs for Tanganga and Obafemi. But the point is, he didn't chuck a couple of million quid in and said, right, go sign a player, did he? So, yes, he'd done really well on the wages front of it. But it wasn't quite enough. What we needed in January to really push us on, was it?
I don't know, Joe, I think if you look at their wages, I don't think it's out of the ordinary to expect. They're on £50,000 a week each, probably. Not for us.
Really?
I reckon their wage. And you've got to think Mill's paying half of it.
Half at least.
I reckon Tanganga's on that. I don't think Obafemi. I reckon Obafemi's probably on more like 30.
Well, But Obafemi was playing in the Premier League for Southampton, got relegated with Southampton.
He was still a youth player then, so I don't think he would have been owed any huge.
He would have been decent, but then also he went to Burnley, got a promotion wage clause increase. He would be on probably £30,000-£40,000 a week.
I reckon he's close to 30.
Yeah, so I reckon the club... So Mill will probably pay in. Okay, we'll meet in the middle and say 40,000. 40,000 times by, 20 weeks, I guess, isn't it? So that's...
It's combined,
For the pairs of loan signings, say 40,000 times by 23 weeks, That's £920,000 alone. So that's just maybe £1 million to have them players on loan for us.
Which is a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
I guess you look at it that way, it is quite a lot. But, you know, we probably could have dealt with at least £2 or 3 million to go out there and buy a player as well, And he didn't quite do that for us. And we needed it desperately. You remember how bad things were in January? We looked at the players that were out injured and how threadbare our squad was. We really needed some heavy investment. But to be fair, they were decent low signers on paper. We all loved it, didn't we? Hearing about Obafemi and Tanganga. It's just a shame that only one of them has really kind of like done well. Mm-hmm. And we haven't quite seen the best of Obafemi yet, have we?
Well, I think someone said about Obafemi earlier in the chat that I started actually about how he's. But I feel for Obafemi because he joined trying to be a striker that receives the ball on the turn from that setup. And I think I'll give Obafemi his due. I don't think he's not sacked it in. I think he's actually trying.
The thing that winds Obafemi up for me is that whenever he gets the ball in a shooting position, he tries to beat the defender like 7 times. Like, mate, just get it out of your feet and take a shot. That's how you got your goal against Blackburn, just by taking the shot. And
if you watch it back, though, he took the man on first. He then took the man on, then had a shot.
He did get a little bit of a lucky break, didn't he?
But then after that, if you watch it again, he then takes the player on, then gets the shot away.
I think he took the shot and they called the keeper off goal. Because let's be honest, it wasn't a great shot and it still managed to go in. Like, I think he just needs to...
You're doing him a disjustice here.
Hang on. You was there, mate. Sorry, I'll take your word.
Watch it. No, if you watch it back, he gets lucky with the turn. You're right,
mate. You saw it.
Then he jinks. And then lets the shot off, because you're right to say he catches keeper off guard, because he jinks then shoots. That's what he looks to do.
Listen, everyone, I'm going to say it before Omar says it. He went to Blackburn for my birthday, and I didn't.
Yeah, you didn't go. What's that about? Jesus Christ!
I was in Rome, mate.
Well, the only one did Stephen go as well for your birthday, Dad?
Yeah.
So you had Omar Stephen go for your birthday.
And Ben
chose to go to Rome instead in the 11th hour.
Love it. Mark Murphy said, they say being homegrown means if you service, the whole project is correct for FFP. Back to the point about trying to bring the youngsters in. Cole Bay says, SA is number 10. Alex is the best leader we've had. Not the best player, mind. In recent years, Alex Pearce. He was very
popular. Yeah.
Very good, wasn't it?
You know, it's interesting. Yeah. I watched Alex Pearce early this season. Was it early this season? I'm sure it was. For Wimbledon. He plays for Avis Wimbledon. And they were playing it was a cup game against Met Police. And he looked decent. Obviously, it's a much lower level. But what was interesting, because you sit so close to the action at non-league football some time, he just was so fucking vocal. So vocal. The whole pitch, just bossing one, telling what he wants to do. And we lacked that. When he played for us, okay, he wasn't that great. His legs went. But when he played in the middle of that three, he was so effective for us. And by losing him, we haven't replaced him, have we? That defender who's going to be the voice and be the
organiser, isn't it?
The organiser, exactly.
Yeah. I think we'll come back to Obafemi because I want to get a chat's opinion on this one as well. Get some comments in. What do we think of Obafemi? Basley says, Obafemi can't get a decent pass. Is Obafemi a victim of the club making a transitional change with Harris, guys? What do you reckon? Get your comments in.
Do you know Obafemi? You know what? Furious me. I love Obafemi. I love his pace. I love his tenaciousness. Yeah, he's got an eye for goal. He's very direct. But what he needs is a strong player up alongside him.
Yeah.
How many times the ball gets pumped up to him and he's battling at 50-50 with a defender that's probably twice his size, trying to compete and outstrength that player? Mm-hmm. And to be fair to him, he's got a great touch. When that ball's pinged to him anywhere sort of below sort of waist height, you know, often or not, he puts himself in front of the defender and he's got a great touch. He holds that ball up or he lays it off, does really well. But what I hate is when balls get pumped up to him.
Well, the problem is his waist height is Cooper's knee height.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So why are balls getting pumped up to him in the air when he's got no chance of winning his headers? The defenders don't even have to jump, these defenders. They just head the ball out. And it just annoys me. So if you are going to hit long balls forward, you've got to push Fleming right up alongside him and let him be the target man and let Obafemi run on the flick-ons or whatever. But at the moment, it's not quite working. And I'm not a professional manager, but fuck me, even I can see that's not working.
Credit Harris more for the return we've got since he's come in, the fact that he's getting the results with a 4-foot striker up top?
Is that crediting him? I mean, could he not be doing better
if he had a proper strike up front? Then
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, proper striker. Mate, he's a proper striker.
6 foot 2, Brexit, 4-4-2, mate. God. Come on, make it happen.
Go on then, name who you want up top of him.
2.
Keep him all.
Ah, oh, brilliant.
Matt Smith, get Matt Smith back.
Steve Morrison.
Oh, 35 years old.
I can see Morrison could do a job for us still.
We'll play Charlie.
Fuck it, get Casperino in. Where's Ted? What's he doing, Teddy?
Yeah, all right,
I reckon
we'd chuck Homer up top, to be fair.
I'll hold the ball up.
It's my head. No one's getting the ball up over.
Get legs around me. I'll hold the ball up.
In our podcast group chat, our lineup on Saturday, we should have Stephen and Ben in the midfield pivot, pinging balls over the top for Homer to run onto.
Stephen and Ben in the middle?
Yeah. Centre of the park, mate. We was going to get Homer up top to run onto the balls in behind, and we was going to bring Mickey back from Turkey early with his new teeth, and he could just dazzle all the opponent strikers. Yeah,
not dazzle with his feet, dazzle with his teeth.
That's it.
Yeah, mate.
Obafemi, Tony calls him. A lot of people like the family.
Yeah, Tony.
They criticise him a lot, though, Obafemi, for his weight, but he's 4 foot, you know, you've got to put it away somewhere.
If he had a neck, he'd be 4'5", wouldn't he? Let's be honest, you know, it's not his fault, is it? He's got no net.
Yeah.
But no, I agree with Tony. He needs someone alongside him. You know, if we're going to play a 4-4-2, I can't stand it. I mean, I'm all for it when we haven't got the ball. I'm all for Fleming coming back, helping off in midfield. Yeah, but when we're attacking and we're on the ball, Fleming needs to get right up there alongside Obafemi. So they put him fucking sitting deep as like playing the Pirlo role. We don't need him there, do we? We need him up there. And hold that ball up.
Is that where you want Casper in the team, mate? You want Casper in the Pirlo era?
Well, he could do that. Oh, Casper.
What didn't Casper do, mate? Tell us something Casper couldn't do.
He couldn't nosh me off, but apart from anything else.
Brilliant.
He's tried. Well, he's been
anyway. Anyway, Joe, mate, here we go. Right. This is one for you, because me and Omar aren't gonna be too aware of this.
The older people, I prefer my with Clyde Best. I think that's going way back.
That's even older than me, Peter. I'm sorry, mate.
Yeah.
Wish I can back you on this one, but...
Yeah. I'll tell you what, we'll start to do anyway, because we're coming up. I want to go to about 9:30 today, so we've got 15, maybe a bit longer minutes left of the show today. We're going to look to tomorrow's game and start to talk about what will our team be and what we anticipate. Dan, you joined a bit later. Me and Joe spoke about it a little earlier, but what are you expecting tomorrow, mate? What's your thoughts? What's your anticipations about this one?
It's a must not lose game, really, isn't it? Because we're 4 points clear. To me, it's a must not lose game. I know there was a bit of discussion about this earlier. We're 4 points clear as it stands. We lose tomorrow, we go 1 point. They go 1 point behind us. We play one of the best teams in the league on Tuesday night, which, knowing our luck, we'll probably go on and win that game anyway. But if we lose to 22nd and 24th the confidence is going to be really low, you would imagine, at that point. And Huddersfield are going to have their tails up. If you win tomorrow, you go 7 points clear, and you're probably saying you probably only need one more win after that, maybe just a couple of draws just to get you home and hose. Mm. I do think 48 points might be enough. I think we're on 44 at the moment, so I think maybe one win would just get us there. But tomorrow's got to be an absolutely must not lose game, I think. Huddersfield have evolved a little bit under this new German manager, from what I'm seeing. I'm not going to try and pronounce his name, because I am going to just completely get it wrong. But they've got some good players in there. You've got to keep like Sauber Thomas very, very quiet, because if you give him the chance to put a good ball in, you know he's going to deliver, for example. So I think they've got some good individuals. I don't think they're a fantastic team, but you've got to keep their individuals quiet. And
out of curiosity, don't mind, in the chat group, what's more important? Is it a must-win game tomorrow, or is it a must-not-lose?
Yeah,
I'll try that.
if you're in Huddersfield position, it's a must win. In our position, I think it's more of a must not lose.
Well, you say that. Let's get some predictions in as well and what people think score's going to be in the comments, please. But yeah,
I've just seen this. No Rudoni. I think that's a.
Is that a fact? Is that
right? He was quality against us at home, weren't he? Do you remember he's run the show for them?
Speaking of our recruitment, by the way, he was playing at Wimbledon. Like, why are we not going in for someone like that?
Well, no, he's an Arsenal youngster, isn't he?
No.
They signed him from Wimbledon.
Don't he? He's in the Arsenal academy.
I'm looking at Flash School's database now and they
said at Wimbledon, playing for their academy.
He was at Wimbledon.
Really?
Adam
Lux, Who owns him?
Huddersfield player. He's a Huddersfield player.
I thought he was on loan to Huddersfield.
No, I'm googling him now to find out whether he's injured, and I'll check for
whilst you chat box do that. We need Mickey. He was about to pronounce the manager's name because it's Andre Breton Ritter. This is where we need.
Yeah, there you go. I'm absolutely that, mate.
Breton Ritter. Hold what? Sorry.
There you go. Exactly. Right. He was at He was a Palace for a year, and then he was at Wimbledon for 11 years.
22 years of age.
Right, you boys could just crack all that. I'm going to read some of the comments and keep up with what we're
doing. Yeah, Huddersfield Town will be without midfielder Jack Rudoni for tomorrow's game.
Brilliant. Well, there you go.
I said about that. Sadly, 1-0 defeat tomorrow, the name it all says. I think this goes down to the last game. Buckle up, boys. Lions, of course, must not lose. Baz, must not lose. Tony W says 1-1. They reckon this is a must win. Must not lose, Alex says. And Paul says must not lose as well.
I think must not lose is winning here, aren't they?
Yeah. Being honest, I think we will lose. No confidence at all this lot. I think, listen, it's been one bad game. I don't understand why we've lost confidence all of a sudden.
It wasn't even a bad game. That's my point.
It's a bad result.
Listen, I've made my thoughts very, very clear in our group chat what I think of this group of players this week. So,
who
was the man of the match?
Their keeper.
So we didn't play that bad, did we?
We knocked on the door second half, but it just wasn't pretty. I get it. But also, like, we just need a win and a draw. Dan said it earlier. How it comes. It comes. It's going to come.
Exactly.
It's positive.
We'll probably beat Leicester and then we'll probably draw to Sunderland or something like that.
Cardiff or something, yeah.
I'll tell you what happened. We'll beat Leicester and then we'll draw against Swansea. We'll just keep it.
And lose the rest.
That's what they've done. I think they've realised that it's actually quite fun to play for something on the final day.
It's going to go the last day of the season.
I don't know if I can deal with that.
What's Welsh for hospital? What's Welsh for hospital? I don't head to those police. What's Welsh for hospital?
Mate, I'm working that day as well, so I can't go to Swansea.
So, yeah, I'm not looking forward to that one. If it comes out to
can
last...
Can you imagine that, though? Having to get, like, a draw or something last game of the season away to Swansea?
We had a last-minute goal. It gives me flashbacks. It gives me flashbacks to Derby under Kenny Jackett. Kenny Jackett's last game. Gives me flashbacks.
What about just Swansea last season when we was 2-0 down in the 90th minute and drew 2-2?
Mate, I was there. I drove to it. I was ready to go after 80 minutes. I'm like, let's go, lad. And then I stayed. I was like, hey, fuck me. Here we go. 2 last minute goals. I was ready to go. There's some more predictions anyway. Peace Time says 1-2. Mark Murphy reckons his confidence is not high for tomorrow. we was total shit Monday, according to Chris. 0-0 for Martin Edwards. Keep your predictions coming, guys. Huds won't sit back, Alex says. And then also, we've got a team lineup.
I agree, Alex.
I think Huds should play more into our hands than Rotherham's.
We've also got a team lineup from Peter, so I want to get the lineup to our boys.
It's just 4-4-2, Omar.
It's 4-4-2, not fucking 2, unfortunately. He's got Lenny Cooper, I assume he's got Sarkic and goal. Lenny Cooper, Tango, Danny Mack, Brooks from Norton Cuffey, Saville, Mitchell, Mayer, Levin, and Obafemi.
I see that team. That would be a great team, I think.
But that's Dan's team.
That's how we should play. I'd like to see Mayer start.
No Longman, fantastic. I like that. Peter, mate, get your CP.
That's a 4-4 fucking 2, that is, isn't it?
That's a beautiful
4-4 fucking 2. Brexit 4-4-2.
I quite like the idea of playing the Brook Norton Cafe as that kind of pace, that outlet. We don't seem to have that. I mean, playing Honeyman there, as great as he is, I do feel we're not giving that kind of threat the other way. It's almost been too defensively while playing that system.
Andrew says we're not going to beat Leicester, Dan, by the way.
It's the most Millwall thing to do, though, isn't it?
They're out of sorts at the minute. They're falling away from the top two as well. So, hey.
Wise, exactly.
Yeah, 0-0 for Martin. Michael says 0-0. I take a 0-0, no shots on goal. and then I'm going to go out and Manchester in the evening and celebrate a point. No, we need one more win. That's all we need after that.
And you're travelling 4 hours to get there as well, aren't
you? Oh, mate, it'd be worth it when I pop well to Manchester tomorrow night. Don't you worry about that. Alex says, Derby away when Sean's at Ledger threw his
crowd. I remember that.
Crowd. It was so funny because Sean threw his boots and someone threw it back, didn't they? I remember Kane and Connor Salmon. He comes on off the bench and scores. I was like, fuck, we're going down now. And then we get Peterborough conceded to Palace, didn't they? And Palace
in the 89th minute.
Well, honestly, that was a bleak day. And then Jackett left shortly after that. So
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, compare Jackett and Harris. Harris has done the same thing as Kay Jackett did as manager. But why is Kay Jackett on that much of a bigger pedestal? Here's one. A bit of road. We won't spend too long on this. But Jackett done exactly what Neil Harris did. If Harris ordered it in quicker time.
Is it because when Jackett took us over, we were like proper in turmoil?
But then you could argue like a bit of Harris.
Yeah, we were bottom of League One.
I suppose. Okay, we were down.
He really transformed us. He
was below teams like Tranmere.
But Harris came in after Ian Holloway. Do you know what I mean?
Even I could come in after Ian Holloway and everyone would love me for that as well.
But on the back of that, okay. You're right to say just above Jackett for that reason, about the League One transition. But on the back of that, you know, Harris had two playoff finals like Jackett did. He also got Mill promoted and then had one season where we were pushing. The same season we were pushing under Jackett, we nearly got relegated when Chris Wood was up for But I think Harris gets a lot of negative stick for the job he's done at Millwall. And I don't understand it. I really don't. No. But that's a topic for another day. But keep your comments coming, guys. What do you think the score's going to be?
What's the score, by the way, with Rotherham and...
Still 1-0, 65-1-0. Tommy's have just come on, so Prime Trouble didn't start today, as Ben coined him in the episode the other day. Dan, remember when Leicester were 17 points clear and they all laughed at you because you said they would go up? I'm not laughing now. Did you say that, Dan?
I did. I actually said at the start of the season, you can go back. I think there's some money riding on it with some Ben and Stevens. So it'd be interesting to... I can't remember the exact terms and conditions. I think they're both going to claim it was Christmas I said it by, but who knows? We'll have to go back and check the footage.
The worst was Ipswich away. What year was that, Mill Holdings? The worst was Ipswich away all season, not in the bottom three until the last 15 minutes, the last game of the season. I don't remember that.
Here we go. Next comment. 0-1 mistake by Gordon Banks.
Yeah, Gordon Banks. Mill Holdings has said it a few times today. He said that apparently the mistake came from Robin's goalkeeper today for the goal. I'm not seeing it. I wasn't paying attention. I just saw the celebrations. Lion 1972 says, think Huddersfield beat us quite comfortably at home. 3-1, he reckons, tomorrow. Carlbay says he loves Super Neil Harris. But yeah, guys, get your comments in. What's your team lineup and your score predictions? I'm going to come to you, Dan. What's your lineup? Are you going to that lineup that you mentioned?
It looks pretty spot on, to be fair. I think there could maybe be an argument. I'm just going to scroll back up just for the benefit of the viewers. We can see the comments and we won't put them on screen just so we can keep the fresh ones up.
Yep.
I know Casper didn't have a great game. I think there's an argument to start him. There's also an argument for Honeyman to maybe start. Probably a long...
Do you rest Saville? Does Saville need a rest now? I mean, I don't know whether...
I don't know. Well, Harris did say that obviously some players have came back, well, given 2 games and 3 days, 4 days, some players have picked up some knocks. He's going to have to see if some of them are going to be okay. So, and obviously we know Saville came into the break with a little bit of an injury, so that might be one that maybe... He just takes a precaution, but I think maybe if Saville's going to sit it out, I think I'd probably want Honeyman to play in the middle. I think they're probably the most like-for-like players in there.
I quite liked Honeyman when he played in the middle for us. I mean, I know he didn't really get the wins, but it just gave us that extra bit of energy in midfield, didn't he?
Maybe Honeyman and Mitchell tomorrow. I don't think that's a duo that have played together all that often. I would have liked to have seen Casper and Billy, to be honest. I don't think that's a duo that's played together that often as well.
Willie Donachie, right. Remember him, boys? League
One. There was a little bit before my time.
Yeah,
he weren't in charge very long, though, was he? But he got school manager.
I might have to look. I think I've got the I've got the From Despair to Donachie video DVD in my.
Yeah, I've got that somewhere.
I might have to go and dig it out.
And I've also got the 2004 Mother's Day Massacre full watch.
I haven't got that one. I've got the run to the FA Cup.
Yeah. But yeah, it was 95-96 that year that you mentioned it such way. Didn't see the Big Mick left and the Russians came in under Nickel. There you go. But yeah, okay. Joe, what do you reckon for tomorrow? I mean, you didn't give your prediction on starting. Actually, no, we'll do lineups first. Do you reckon that's going to be the lineup? Joe, you agree with that on Saturday, tomorrow?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, hang on, mate, sorry, can you clarify? Is that what we want or what we think? Because I don't think we're going to play with that, but I'd like us.
I don't think he'll start Mayer, will he? I don't think he'll start
Mayer. No. I mean, obviously, it'll be 4-4-2. We know it'll be Obafemi and Fleming up front. Back four, we're looking at Danny Mapp, probably left back.
Yeah.
Leonard right back, Coops and Tango. The question is, who is he playing midfield across that four? Because, you know, you like to think Mitchell will come back because Mitchell didn't play the last game and he'll definitely start this one. I think we need his energy in there. The question is, does he play Saville or does he play Dunor in the middle?
Well, we're not talking this now.
Well, I'll pick Dunor, but I think Harris will pick Saville. So he'll probably go Saville and Mitchell in the middle. I can't see him leaving Honeyman out. The question is, does Honeyman play left side or right side? And then does he go Brave and start with Brook Norton Cuffey on the right?
Or I think he'll start Longman tomorrow.
I mean, what's this deal about Watmore? I mean, I know he scored against West Brom for us, but I don't quite like him playing.
One in every 10 games, Watmore has a game where he turns into Messi. Just one in every 10, that's it.
So, well, you know, the comment earlier saying he's our main creative outlet under Harris. I can't remember.
And a moment, no. But Harris sees something in him that I don't quite see.
All the last game against Rothery. All the managers are yelling in love.
He's a grass star. He's a grass star. He's a Millwall type player.
He's a Millwall type player.
The Millwall type.
I'm sure on 60 minutes, I'm sure he was signaling to Harris to get me off. And Harris kept
going to fucking eight.
He was hanging on Monday. He was lowering on Monday.
Honeyman off.
He's got 60 minutes in him.
I wonder if you mentioned about Knox. I think Honeyman did come off, which is he doesn't normally hook Honeyman.
We've got a squad of impact players.
I wonder if Honeyman has got a knock ahead of tomorrow. That'll be one to watch out for.
I was just actually going back to Peter Sullivan's team, and I raise you this: would you potentially tomorrow put Hutchinson into the defence?
I would, honestly. I said it in the chat, and I do really stand by this. I want Hutch.
Was it a Bristol City game when Bristol City come back and was man of the match, wasn't he?
Well, he played three games between Christmas and New Year. He played all three games and we kept a clean sheet. And
but he was great.
Three games.
Yeah, he came out of nowhere as well. He came in.
But who did you drop then?
Cooper.
No, I would drop Cooper, yeah.
I'd go for it and maybe even Tanganga left side centre half. Or I think Hutch can do a job left side centre half. I've seen him play that.
I'd probably just because Tanganga is a little bit more comfortable on the ball, I probably would put Tanganga as your left centre half.
Hargreaves.
And I think given you're probably going to have Danny McNamara, who might get called out a little bit more than Leonard, I think Tanganga's pace could be a bit more utilised as the centre half.
Yeah. I'll be up for that. Definitely.
Cooper's got to start though, but yeah, wishful thinking.
Yeah, I know.
Right, we're going to wrap up anyway.
Speak about target men strikers. What about Cooper up top tomorrow? Is that where we've got to end?
If you do that, there's not really a place for Fleming then in a 4-4-2 system. You can't.
There's
really
no place for Obafemi, mate. Don't worry.
No, you've got to have some pace up front. You can't have
for it.
Chuck Obafemi on the wing. We need pace on the wing. He can be Jed.
What's your score prediction for tomorrow, Dan?
Oh, crikey Moses. God. 0-0.
0-0.
And I'd take a 0-0 tomorrow.
Comment section, if you've not had your comment in yet about score prediction, we're going to wrap up in a minute. So get your comments in. What do you think the score's going to be?
I'm going for 1-1, Omar. I think, you know, I can see us getting our noses ahead. You know, 1-0. Everyone's thinking, yes, it's fucking great. And then 85th minute, they'll pro score and it's 1-1. But then, yeah, we'll all say at the end, oh, but we'll take a point at the beginning of the game, so we should be too disgruntled, you know?
I personally think that we have conceded a lot of late goals this season, haven't got that many late goals ourselves, so maybe we might be due. I know we got one against Birmingham. We might be due another one, especially because Huddersfield did it to us, didn't they? They got a 97th minute penalty.
We can't lose. Whatever happens, we cannot lose. If we lose, then
your
fan have got a right to fucking shout, slag everyone off and cause a riot because...
I think if we lose tomorrow, I think we might go.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You're so game by game. Listen, boys. We need one win and a draw.
But if we lose tomorrow, do you know how low... This group of players is pretty spineless as it is. They haven't got much of a backbone. The second you put the slightest ounce of pressure on them, they have absolutely crumbled. Listen. So what makes you think if they go and lose tomorrow, where's their confidence going to be for the remaining five games of this season?
I'll be walking out of the ground going, we're going down if we lose tomorrow. But I will mellow as the week goes on going, no, we've still got, you know, enough games in hand.
You'll be walking out of the ground. You won't be walking out of Potwell, mate. Ben will be carrying you out of there.
No, mate. You know me. I can handle my drink. I like you, Dan, but yeah.
Me.
So Lions Wall says 1-2 Wall. Alex A says 1-1 Dave Clark says 2-1 to Huddersfield. No chance on Tuesday, says Peter Sullivan. 2-1 Lions tomorrow, says Ken Clark. Riley Lovers says 3-1 Millwall against Huddersfield. 0-2 says Millwall Holdings. Andrew Roberts says 1-1 And then we've also got 3 goals, lol, from Millwall Holdings. You know what? I'm not giving my prediction. And also, I'm not confident, but I think we're going to nick it 1-0 tomorrow.
Here we go. Here comes Ivan's class. Oma, what's the tips to that?
0-0 both teams to score.
0-0
both teams to score. 0-0 both teams to score.
Your predictions, will say, up until now has been pretty good, Dave Mars.
I fancy us to nick it to my 1-0. I think it'll be... Do you know, part of me was going to go 3-1 Millwall. I was just going to go rogue there. I was going to go, fuck it. But I don't see that happening.
So you think?
I think we're going to win.
Omar, speak from your head, mate, not from your heart.
Well, if you see me at 2:55 tomorrow, I'll be like, we're going to lose. I'm shitting this here. Or I might say we might be. It depends how many beers we have. We'll win this 4-0 today, boys. Ben's going to be saying 6-0 Millwall.
That's usually Ben, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ben makes you laugh.
Ben, he was actually looking. I actually put something in our group chat. I actually went back from when Judd was disappointed just before the Sheffield Wednesday game when I think we discussed it on a show, me, Ben, and Steve.
I heard it.
Ben put in our podcast group chat, I've never been so convinced we're going to win 6. So I was like, throw back to this optimism, guys. I'd love to.
Is that where Ben was chatting Millwall Champions League Lions?
Yeah.
He's calling us.
Joe Edwards, yeah. Champions League Lions. And he's now.
Champions League Lions. It makes me laugh that with Ben, because when he has a few beers, like he gets proper emotional.
I think he's listening tonight. You listen about the Burnley comment.
You don't know how funny it is. We're on this group chat, yeah? And what you find is, like, Ben is very. You know, normally he's quite articulate, you know, he's very respectful, he says the right things, quite diplomatic. If he had a few beers and Millwall lose, fuck me. He goes on a right wind-up, literally about 100 messages on our WhatsApp group with him.
Does that, he was sad.
Slagging everyone off. But it happens every time, doesn't it, after he...
I'm just out to try and mug everyone off in the group chat, that's all I'm in the group chat.
If I weren't driving, I would have been exactly the same on Monday, I'd have been like... contemplating life probably.
Things have got back.
Everyone's point.
Can I just point out our leader, by the way, because Mickey Simpson went and drove all the way back from Rotherham on Monday. Rather than coming back for the live, everyone, he went for a Ruby Murray.
I did go for Ruby Murray, mate. It was fantastic as well. It was well deserved after watching that shower shit on Monday. Don't wind me up.
Were you driving?
I was driving.
Oh, there you go. He was driving. He wasn't drinking.
What's your dinner tomorrow night? Stella's. Stella's in Manchester.
Sounds healthy.
some Nelson Mandela's to get me through it, mate. I'll be fine. The Mill dietitian, you call me. I'm the Mill podcast dietitian, so that's it. That's
you're nutritionist.
Well, guys, I will have
been up. Everyone are heading up there.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Cheers, Dave. Yeah,
and if I see you guys up there, be sure to say hello. I'll be there before the game outside, probably having a beer. So come and find me. We're going to be talking about how Mill's going to win it tomorrow. I fancy it. Dan, thanks for joining, mate.
Apologies for the late arrival. Yeah, I'll be around on Sunday to debrief.
There we go. Joe, thank you, mate.
Say you'll be in Omar, so I think one of us has to put our hands up to do it.
I'll be driving down the M1 with one eye open.
I'll be here. I suspect Stephen will be here on Sunday. Jay will probably be here as well.
Nice one, Joe, mate. Thanks for joining me, mate.
Yeah, nice one. Cheers, though. Cheers, lads. Again, guys, you know, if we get a win, brilliant. If we draw, it's not a bad result, guys. So don't feel too disheartened if we draw. I think if we draw tomorrow, it's still a decent result for us. We can't lose.
If we lose, whatever will be, but we're going to Shrewsbury. So,
yeah.
We started on Monday singing say hello to Charlton to Rotherham fans. Say hello to Charlton, but... We could be seeing them ourselves if we're not careful.
Important comments just came up.
Go on.
Important comment. The Stew's asking all the big questions.
And boob job. There you go.
We will try and get a picture of Mickey Simpson out on the podcast social media feed.
His hair is definitely getting longer though, isn't it?
His hair is getting longer, yeah.
We had a picture on the WhatsApp group. You're taking a picture.
I'm debating he's in Turkey. He looks like he photoshopped himself in.
It is quite thick, that hair coming through, I have to admit. It's the wrong colour, granted. You know, it's quite silvery, but he's definitely got some hair coming through. So fair play, mate.
And as Mark Murphy says at the bottom, Stella each handed a balanced diet. There you go.
That is what I want.
Not while you're driving, though, Ayman. Not while you're driving.
You know, the Michael Van Gogh face, still keeps sending that video with cycling stuff under the hockey. That's me, mate. There we go. everyone, thank you for joining us tonight. I've really enjoyed it. And obviously, tomorrow, hopefully, we walk away with 3 points. We'll be back on Sunday, as Dan mentioned, for a Sunday night live stream to recap.
And are we going to make the very loose promise of a bonus midweek?
After
Leicester? Maybe Wednesday night?
Depends if we win.
How the results. We usually do a pre-rec on a Wednesday potentially, so we could maybe.
We don't want to see self-harming, do we? On live podcast.
Maybe we should set. Maybe should we set a like target or something like that? Or
don't be David Willett at this point,
right, guys. I'm off to watch Married at First Sight. Recorded yesterday. Mrs. is waiting for me, so
that's us. Then
very emotional. Let's win tomorrow. But remember, guys, if we draw, it's not
Hang on, Joe, goal. Before you go, mate, stand up and show us that top. I've just seen the top of it. I've seen the right end.
Yeah, there you go. I noticed that earlier. Right, there you go. We're going to end on that. Guys, thank you for watching. If you're new around here, be sure to subscribe, like the video, and we'll be back on Sunday. Thanks for watching, guys. See you later.
And...
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.